Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Thursday morning, July the 30th, 2026. 16 coming up on 17 minutes past the hour. We are almost done with the month of July. Last Thursday in the month of July and next to last day of the month. Well, got a few things I want to talk about here this morning. Tonight, there's going to be a big event going on out at OSU, Marion, in the Guthrie Room, 7 p.m., big event honoring Larry Barnett, and we're going to be previewing the Mary Ellen Withrow documentary, and there's a lot of great talent performing tonight out at OSUM. We've got Chad Clark, and we've got Aaron Brewer, and we have got Gabriel Ross Vanis, and we have got the Marionaires, and we've got United in Harmony, who just performed, I believe, over in McKinley Park as part of the 250th anniversary celebration. And this is all absolutely free, no admission at the door. Tonight, 7 p.m., Guthrie Room out at Ohio State. I'll be serving as the master of ceremony. And we've got a lot of fun stuff, and a lot of great people are going to be out there tonight honoring Larry Barnett. I'm not going to mention the names because I don't want to spoil them, but it should be a lot of fun, and we might even have a former president out there tonight. So it's going to be big tonight out at OSUM, 7 p.m. in the Guthrie Room. Remember, no admission at all, and there will be light refreshments for people out there. And I know they're good because I know who is cooking them tonight, and it's not me. So don't miss this event for love nor money. And I think we're also going to be auctioning off something that will be one-of-a-kind tonight, so you might be able to get a one-of-a-kind item for a great Marion enthusiast, or really somebody beyond Marion. 7 p.m., OSU Guthrie Room tonight. Don't miss it. Big event, lots of entertainment, and lots of tributes and previewing the Mary Ellen documentary. It really is a variety show. There's so much going on out there tonight. Oh, and stand-up comedian Mike Larson, who's performed on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno. He's written for Ryan Reynolds and Whoopi Goldberg and so on and so forth. He'll be there doing stand-up comedy tonight. So truly the definition of a variety show. And tomorrow night at the Ohio State Fair, July 31st, we've got the SOS Band and the Daz Band. So that will be where our ticket giveaway will be this morning. So we'll get to that. But there are a few things I wanted to talk about here. Let's see here. Well, did anybody see yesterday where Governor Strickland, as he opened his last Ohio State Fair as governor, said he wants to name one of the newly renovated buildings after former Governor Strickland? How about that? I thought that was very nice. The Governor DeWine was asked if he was eyeing one of the buildings to put his name on. And he said, no, I think it's time we name a building after Ted, Governor Strickland. So that is very, very nice. And again, shows you the bipartisan nature of a lot of these politicians. And boy, don't I wish we could get back to that. I think Governor DeWine proves every day that he is more of a pragmatic politician and a pragmatic man. Because this is not a political move, but just a nice thing to do. So I saw that article in the Dispatch this morning that DeWine wanted to name that building after Governor Strickland, and I thought that's a very nice thing to do. Amidst what the other things that Governor Strickland is doing, or Governor DeWine is doing, I should say, such as wanting to keep the Haitians in Springfield and making some strong comments in regard to that, wanting to abolish the death penalty, all the stuff he did during the pandemic. You really got to hand it to Governor DeWine. Whether you like or dislike what he says, people always say they want politicians who don't toe the party line. Well, I don't think you could say that Governor DeWine is towing the party line these days. And also, we would have to say we probably would not know who Amy Acton is had it not been for Governor DeWine. So there you go. The Democratic candidate for governor probably would have no traction at all had it not been for the current Republican governor. So there you go. Something interesting. Now, honestly, I'm going to tell you this story just as it happened, and I'll explain to you why I have no more information on this. Yesterday, I was out in public, and somebody came up to me, and they said, I listened to the show, I see the news post you put up, and things of that nature. This is somebody I've never run into or heard before, and they said they had some real reservations about Kevin Hall being on the finance board as the mayor's appointment. And I asked him why, and he had some reasons, just some ethical reasons. And honestly, you could ask me what this man's name was. I don't know who this man was. He never introduced himself in that way. He did not say his name. I could tell you what he looked like, but that's about it. I don't know what his name was, but I thought it was very interesting that he had some major concerns with Kevin Hall. Now, I don't think it did not seem, now I don't want to put words in anybody's mouth, it didn't seem like he had problems with him in regard to his financial background, but it seemed like he had some issues with him ethically. Now, I don't know exactly what those issues are, but I thought it was very interesting. In any event, the phone lines are open here this morning if you'd like to get in on the conversation. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. 23 minutes past the hour. We'd love to hear from you out there in the listening audience. The Kevin Hall thing is interesting to me, because it seems as if there are a lot of people who like the pick, have defended the pick of him to go on the financial board, and that's that. And then there are a lot of people who don't like the pick. I don't know, for different reasons, apparently. Some people feel there's no financial background there, and this person just seemed to feel there were some ethical issues in his past that may be a problem. So, I don't know where that's all going. I don't know what's true and what's not, but interesting that people are talking about it in the community. And as I said, this really, I think, is a point where the mayor right now, I don't think, can buy a good story with everything going on here in Marion. I think it's just very, very difficult for him right now to get a good story. I don't think a lot of people are going to agree with much of what he's doing, because I think people are unhappy with the fiscal state of the city. I think people are unhappy about the flock cameras. I think there's just a lot of unhappiness going on right now. And when that happens, it's hard to get any good traction. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, would you know offhand if that Kevin Hall, if he spells his last name with an H-A or H-U?
I believe it's H-A-L-L.
Okay, thank you.
No problem. But, Kevin Hall, H-A-L-L. I believe he founded the Chicago Title Agency here in Marion several years ago. But some people like it, some people don't, and there we are. And that's kind of the situation with the flock cameras. You know, there'll be another meeting about that on Monday. I'll be interested to see if that's as well attended as the last one a couple weeks ago. It will be interesting that Rob Smith, the head of that committee, says he will have a panel there this week. I would have to imagine that will consist of the sheriff, but I don't think we know who else will be on that panel. So there we are. And as I was saying yesterday, we had a big discussion on flock cameras. I really don't have a position either way on the flock cameras. I don't live in the city, but I understand why people do have strong opinions both ways on flock cameras. And with this panel being there Monday night, hopefully a lot of people will show up and get their questions answered. The point I was trying to make yesterday is I was looking at one of the administration reports in regard to flock cameras, and there are several rules and regulations already in place for them. So I guess it comes down to, do you like those rules and regulations? And do you like what the flock cameras are doing? And here's what's interesting to me, is that it seems like over the last 20 years, we've become much, much, much more of a surveilled society, I guess is what I'll say, a surveilled society. I mean, everybody has some kind of equipment, cell phone, laptop, computer, Dot, Alexa. You know, everybody's got something around. And doorbell cameras now have become in vogue. We do have the flock cameras now. Police have body cameras. You know, these things weren't a thing several years ago. And we just have them now. And I think in a lot of cases, they make people feel safer. In a lot of cases, they are championed by society. But in a lot of cases, people don't like them. And that's just the way it is, much like with anything. Some people are going to like it. Some people are not going to like it. But as I was saying yesterday, I think this is going to come down to common ground. Somebody is going to have to say, okay, here's what's going to happen, and where are we going to go from here? Can we make this compromise? Because most things in society, most things in life, are built on compromise. So we'll see if there's some kind of compromise put forth here with the flock cameras, but I don't know. Maybe if you're the police department, maybe you feel like there are not enough votes to eliminate the flock cameras, so maybe you don't have to make a compromise. Maybe that's the feeling. I don't know. I just hope all the information being put out is correct, because we did find Monday that some people had some information that wasn't exactly correct. Now, Law Director Mark Russell straightened that out, but, you know, this is the world we live in. Now, that's another part of technology, is that anybody can say anything, whether it's true or not. And I'll tell you, some people will go down with the ship. They'll stick to whatever they were saying as the ship's going down, and they're proven not to be true. They'll still be telling you that it's true. So here we are. 30 minutes past the hour this morning. If you've got anything to say about Kevin Hall's appointment to the Financial Board here in Marion, or any more about the flock cameras, that's always an interesting conversation, or possibly one of the new buildings at the Ohio State Fair being named for former Governor Strickland. Feel free to buzz in, or if there's anything else on your mind, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz. We would love to hear from you. I'll tell you, it's a beautiful morning this morning here in Marion. And when I was out walking again last night, I brought this up last week, I think. Another rabbit last night, big rabbit, by the way, as big as, I don't even know what you, big as like a little Chihuahua dog. These rabbits, in broad daylight, will not run away from you until you are almost on top of them. I think it's interesting. Go ahead, Colin.
Good morning, Scott. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Yeah, I wanted to say thank you, first of all, for the tickets to Styx last night.
How was it?
It was awesome. Had a good time. It was, we got there, actually went in a little bit late, and didn't matter because all the songs I wanted to hear and all the things were on the encores and the end of the show anyways. It was a great show. It was a good time.
Terrific. Were there a lot of people there last night?
It was packed.
Oh, good.
I mean, it was packed. I mean, there was some empty seats, but, you know, for the most part, it was a good show, and it was packed. So
great.
On the flock camera thing, we keep going back to, why do we have cameras? Don't we have cameras don't we have cameras out there to surveil the public? Because just by a fact that people break laws, right? So why don't we have cameras on our public servant employees? I mean, isn't the mayor, isn't the law director, you know, don't we have, as I said from the beginning, the reason we have laws, we have DUI laws, we have all those, is because it has proven in the past that people need to be legislated, they need to be controlled, or they need to have laws to deter them from breaking laws and from doing bad things. But we're not, you know, they want to surveil us. They want to surveil and jail us. They want to hinder our speech and be able to walk us out of meetings. Seems like they want an awful lot of control, and they are the people's employees. I mean, don't we surveil, doesn't Walmart, doesn't Myers, doesn't, they all surveil their employees. You know, people will say, well, cops have have body cameras on. Cops routinely turn those body cameras off.
Well, and I think it's an interesting point. Now, I don't know how many cameras are in City Hall. I mean, I would assume they have them. Now, I don't know if they're in people's offices or not. I don't know.
That's my point. Why aren't they?
Well, maybe, are they? I don't know if they are or not.
I would doubt it. And I've asked it point blank to the mayor and to the chief, and they sit there with the deer in the headlights look.
Well, I would wonder why they wouldn't have cameras in their office just for their own protection. I would think they would want to have cameras in their office.
Yeah, people that, and I'm not accusing our officials of anything, so I'm speaking in very general terms, but yeah, you know, people that aren't, as everybody says about the flock cameras, people that aren't doing anything wrong don't worry about those cameras, is what they say, right? So why would they not have cameras in their offices? Do we not have story after story after story from the past, present, and future of mayors that are corrupt, of police chiefs that are corrupt, or of police departments that are corrupt, of councils that are corrupt? I mean, there's no shortage of it.
Well, I think probably the answer to this, and again, I'm not a spokesperson for people who work at City Hall, but the difference is even if they wore a body camera, if you were accusing or insinuating that corrupt behavior was happening with a mayor or an auditor or a treasurer or somebody like that, I don't know how a body camera would help you, because usually that's done with paperwork, and I don't know that a body camera stationed on your chest is going to pick up what paperwork you're signing on your desk.
And I get what you're saying, but Scott, I mean, a lot of conversations take place, don't they? From my time in working within the Marion system and being involved and being on several boards that I was on, you know, everything takes place in backroom conversations. Everything, all the decisions, who's going to be appointed to what position, or who's going to be, you know, brought up for this job, or whatever. It's supposed to be a process. It's supposed to be a vetting, and it's supposed to be a public. It never is. It's always behind-the-scenes conversations. So, yeah, you're right. A lot of things are paperwork. A lot of things are conversations. And to me, again, if that's their argument, that, well, you know, well, what would the cameras pick up? Because a lot of things are paperwork. Okay, well, then put the cameras in and shut up about it.
Well, I don't know. I mean, again, I would think that if you worked in an office at City Hall, that you would probably want a camera in your office just in case somebody would ever come in the building and try something. I don't know why you wouldn't want a camera in there.
Well, and it's not always, you keep posing it as a protective thing for the employee. It's also a checks and balance for the people. What they may, you know, say, you know, I'm going to use the chief for example. Say the chief says, you know what, I agree with you. Cameras would be a good thing to protect me from somebody coming in and attacking me. But on the other side of that coin, those cameras might catch me. They might catch me doing things. They might catch me doing bad things. They might catch me saying bad things. So when I weigh the pros and cons of anything in life, you know, well, the cameras could be good and protect me from somebody attacking me, but on the other side, let's see, wow, they could catch me and put me in prison. Yeah, I don't want no cameras.
Well, I think it's probably, and again, I'm not a spokesperson for them, I think it's probably the same reason Walmart has cameras in the ceiling, but they don't have them on their employees. Now, the employees are probably the ones who are going to do the illegal activity, but the thought of having every employee wear a camera and then have to pass that off to another employee, and also, do you get to take it off if you go to the bathroom?
And that was just one aspect of what I said, Scott. So don't be so.
No, but that's what I'm. I guess what's the other besides them wearing cameras? What's the other?
My point is, in Walmart, when you go to Walmart, they have cameras over top of. Okay, what do employees steal at Walmart? They steal money at the cash register, so they have cameras right there. They steal product, so they have cameras all over the store. They steal product back in the back room, so they have cameras all over there.
Right.
They have cameras in the break rooms. They have cameras in the loss prevention offices, you know, for when they catch people stealing and bring them in there. They then have cameras to watch the whole process to keep the watch prevention people honest.
Right. My
point being is, as you're right, they're not body cameras, but there should be cameras in all these office spaces of all the public employees, not just out at the counter. If you go to the DMV, of course there are cameras watching the counter. There aren't any cameras back in that office.
Well, again,
there should be. Well, that's how you get, because like I said, the Walmart people, they have cameras in their break rooms. They have, anywhere they go other than a bathroom or a changing room, they have cameras watching the employees. That's what we need to be doing with our government public servant employees.
Well, and like I said, I don't know why there wouldn't be for a public servant. Considering you've got a metal detector downstairs, you have a courtroom upstairs, I don't know why there wouldn't be cameras in there.
And as I keep saying, Scott, I mean, can you concede the other side of my point? Do you see that the cameras could serve, you keep framing this as, I can't see why they wouldn't want them, it would protect them. It could also convict them.
Well,
maybe,
yeah.
That's why they don't want them.
Well, see, yes, I understand that, but I guess my point is that if I were a public official, whether I was doing something good or bad, I would want the camera there anyway.
I agree with you. But, I mean, do we not, I mean, you're a news guy. Aren't there news stories from the past and present every day where we catch cops because of the body cams? Because of body cams they thought they turned off.
Right,
there's many, many times you get police officers who think they've turned off that body cam, and they didn't. And that's what convinced them. Or somebody has some surreptitious video, or somebody has a phone recording it, and, you know, I mean, the George Floyd thing.
Right, right. Well, that's
so
what I'm saying.
The cameras came to the rescue.
Right, well, that's what I'm saying. I think society is surveilled pretty good these days.
So I guess my question to the chief or the mayor, when they stand up and say, or Ralph Smith says, you know what, if you ain't doing anything wrong, why are you worried about the cameras? Well, then my question to you is, you tell me why you're worried about cameras. Then let's get all these cameras. Let's put it all out there. Let's get cameras in the mayor's office. Let's get cameras in the chief's office, because they're not there now. Guaranteed, they're not there now.
Well, yeah.
And if you ain't got nothing to hide, as you say to us,
right,
you talk it, let's walk it, guys.
Yeah. Well, no, I would be interested to hear what they would say as far as cameras in the office.
It's been asked multiple times and no answer. So I could say, when you say to me, or when you say online sometimes, you'll say, well, nobody has asked this question. Yes, it is.
Well, let me.
And then at some point, and sometimes I want to say, too, remember, certain, like when we go to Monday nights, it's going to be committee meetings. So we're going to have chair people expressing their own rules. Ralph Smith doesn't allow us to talk to anybody but Ralph Smith anymore. We're not allowed to ask questions of anybody in the box, according to Ralph Smith's committee.
Well, I do have a question, because I believe that Pollock has a camera put in his office, and did.
You know what? Props to them.
Right, but I think a lot of times they use this as a preventative measure, and I
sure.
guess what I'm saying, let me ask this. Okay, if the questions have been asked, and I'm not saying they haven't been, but when somebody doesn't answer your question, then what?
That's what I say to you. Then what? What am I supposed to do? Stand up there and show some emotion and
then
get walked out of the meeting because I say, damn it, I want an answer?
Well, no,
or
I
will
think...
you give me an answer?
Well,
or, here's the other side of that, too, Scott. Remember that you might be only... You might be asking these questions, and you might have Ralph Smith down there saying, 30 seconds. You got 30 seconds. So you just want to get your questions out. Maybe you want to get up there, and you got 9 questions. You want to list them all, and then you want to sit down, because, and then you'll listen to the answers, because now we got 3 minutes, or... And even that, Ralph changes his rules in the middle of the damn rules.
Well, I guess the point is if there is an answer that you want and it doesn't come, I think I would say, is there an answer? I mean, there doesn't have to be any emotion in that.
No, I agree. That's how I would do things. That's how you would do things. Sometimes people, Scott, that are new to the process, that are just getting involved, that are green, as I said, and I've talked to multiple people that were up there at that flock night, you know, and they listened to your and I's debate afterwards the next day. And many of them said to me, you know what, Phil, thank you, because I'm so nervous, I'm this, that, and other, that I didn't even hear the other people talk. I didn't even hear the question that this person asked. See, you do this for a living. You're okay with public speaking. I'm okay with public speaking. Most people aren't okay with public
right.
speaking.
And it's the number, I believe, number 1 or 2 fear up there with dying. That's not what, I am not criticizing anybody for not doing a certain protocol. All I'm saying is that whatever the reason is that your question doesn't get answered, whether it's anxiety or being new to the system or being up there, regardless, the end result's the same. It didn't get answered. So the time that you took preparing that question to get up there and all the anxiety and worry that goes with that didn't really mean anything because you didn't get any answer. So do you want to bring the same question next week and stand there till you get an answer? That's all I'm saying. I'm saying I don't know what the point of the question is if you don't get an answer. Just to hear you say it?
I hear what you're saying, but you can't force people to answer, Scott. And as I said, sometimes you only have enough time to get the question out, and then you have to sit down because your time's up.
Well, a lot of times...
And you may have to listen for that answer, and it never comes. So then if you raise your hand, because I know there's times I've asked questions and then sat down and then waited for the answer, didn't get it, and then I raised my hand to ask it again, but I've already spoken. And we got to let everybody else speak now. We can't get Phil back up there yet, or da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
I guess the thing is, I mean, I think the time limit that Ralph put on was 5 minutes. And
okay, but it changed.
Well, but it's 5 minutes. And if he's not going 5 minutes, then somebody should point that out. But the point is that if you can't get your question off in 5 minutes, then I think there's probably a problem. And I think also another issue there is that a lot of times people, now these people who I guess are frightened, which I don't see a lot of that, because they get up there and they immediately start making accusations of people.
Sure.
Right. That's not a question.
No, I agree.
And then they wait, they do about 4 minutes of accusations, and then they wait till the final minute, then they drop a question in there, and then walk away.
I agree.
Well,
I agree.
Stand there like you do during the accusation and wait for the answer.
So let me ask you, if they do it that way, and that's, you know, I there's no right way, wrong way, but it's not the way you would do it, and it's not the way I would do it. But if they do it that way, if they make a bunch of statements and then they end with a question because Mr. Smith just said, hey, you got 30 seconds, 30 seconds. So they say, okay, I'm going to get a question in there. They're out of time now. So they have to sit down, okay? Many times I've seen Ralph Smith, when he wants to address something, he'll say, can I answer that question? Will you let me answer that question? Even after somebody sits down. I've seen the mayor do the same thing. I've seen the chief do the same thing. I've seen the law director do the same thing. I've seen Rob Chow do the same thing.
Right.
And if they really want to answer somebody's question, just like when I've asked the question about, well, how about we put cameras in your offices? And I looked the mayor straight in the eye. And I said, how about your office? And I looked the chief straight in the eye. And they looked right back at me with deer in the headlights look. So what should I do at that point? Should I slam my fist?
No.
Should I say, you're going to answer me?
No. Is there an answer to this question?
Okay. And obviously it's a question that's been asked. I've asked it multiple times. I'll ask it again Monday.
Right. I guess the point, I think, is where we're getting off the track on this. And it's, listen, everybody has anxiety about something, and that is an intimidating thing to do for a lot of people. I'm not saying it's not. I think what you think that I'm saying is that this is the way it should be done, and this is the way it needs. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is it seems like a lot of people are knocking the administration and the council people for not answering questions. Because that's what I keep hearing. They don't answer the questions. Okay. Well, you can't knock them for not answering the question if you don't give them time to answer the question, or you do 4 minutes of statements and then come in with a question. And a lot of times, it's not even addressed to anybody. I've seen people say, here's the question, who's going to answer that?
So let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
If I ask you a question, Scott, if you were the mayor and you're sitting there and I got up to the podium and I asked you a question and Ralph said, you have time, Mr. Townsend, and I asked the question and then I turned and walked back to my seat, does that mean I don't want an answer to my question?
No. No, I don't think it does, but I think...
So why can't they answer the question? You keep going back to, people ask the question, then they turn and walk away.
Well, like I said,
I don't understand why that's the defining moment that allowed or disallowed that person to answer the question.
Because listen, I don't care if the questions get answered or not. If people are happy with no answers, that's fine. But the point is, what I'm saying is when you walk away from that podium and you've got another hand already up for the next person to come up, I think a lot of those officials, I'm not in their mind, but I think they see that as, okay, here comes the next person. They've walked away. Their time's up.
And I agree with you. And what I'm going to say to that is they either use it as an opportunity to get out of the question, or as I said to you, what I've seen many times happen, Scott, is people ask the question, they turn and walk away, and Ralph Smith will say, can I answer that question? Or the mayor will say, can I offer some answers to that question? See, when they want to answer, they will inject themselves into that conversation.
Right.
When they don't want to answer, they'll look at it like, oh, well, he turned and walked away, so I didn't get the chance to answer the question. He must not have wanted an answer.
Well,
you see my point?
Well,
when they want to answer, they will. When they don't, it's like, oh, wow, they turned away.
Well,
I think that's a lame excuse.
Right, but I think then we can't...
to say that the reason I didn't answer is because, well, he walked away.
Well, I don't know. I guess the point is, see, you're arguing the same point that I am. They're not answering the question. And that's what I'm saying. They're not answering the questions a lot of time.
And in my opinion, you're saying once they don't ask it, quit asking. Once they don't answer your question, whoever, you need to quit asking that question is what I take your saying.
No, I'm saying exactly the opposite. I'm saying if I was standing there and somebody didn't answer my question, I certainly would not leave the podium. I would say, do you have an answer? Because they've got to answer that.
Scott?
Well, again, I probably wouldn't wait till the last 10 seconds to ask it.
Okay, but what if you asked 7 questions already and got answers and you asked your last question and all of a sudden you ran out of your last 30 seconds? And you didn't get an answer to that last one.
But
I
don't.
Do I stand up? Scott, they're looking for a reason. You got people like Dan Clark who are looking for a reason to walk people out of those sessions.
Well, I guess the complaint is that I keep hearing they're not answering the questions, and I guess they're just not going to answer them. I am just trying to give people ideas on how to try to get an answer. But if they don't want those ideas, that's fine. They are not going to answer them.
I'm not saying that, but I'm also saying to you, you can't just stand up there and do what you want to do, Scott. You got to play by the rules, Scott. Remember, decorum.
Well, I haven't seen Ralph keep that very good, and he's only had that for one meeting.
I know, but my point, as I keep saying, if the questions, and again, you have Mary Stoneburner running it, you have the chairperson running it, it all goes back to the whole decorum. If I've run out of my time, or if I've asked a question, or Mary, or Naomi, or Scott Spears, or whoever, and then you walk away, and the mayor says, hey, I want to answer that, then, see, that's up to the chairperson to stop. Oh, you're right, other hands go up. They want to ask questions, too. It's up to the chairperson or it's up to the president of council to say, no, we have a question. We have somebody wants to answer. We're going to get the answer here and then before we get any more. That's what it's all about.
Well, my guess is it's probably going to keep going like it's going, and people will keep complaining that they're not getting their questions answered, and that'll be the way it is.
And you may be right, or you may be 50% right, but you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to keep posing those questions, and I'm going to keep letting them... I'm going to keep pushing them to answer the questions. I'm going to do what I can without going to jail to get them to answer those questions.
Well, I think that's what I said in the beginning of
this.
And
I'm going to make sure, and the reason I keep asking the questions, even when they don't answer, is because people are watching. People are watching online. People are paying attention. People are getting involved. And people are starting to... I've got all kinds of people talking to me about voting who've never voted in their lives.
Well, that's good.
And I'm not coming at you. I'm a passionate person.
Well, no.
You come across to me that, like, well, if you ask the question and then you walk away, I guess that turns off the question. Is kind of like, you know, in perception wise, When a speaker asks the question and then walks away, whether it be out of time or just I want to go sit down and listen to the answer.
I don't feel like you're coming at me. I don't feel that way at all. All I'm saying is that what I keep hearing from people who call in here are we ask a question, it doesn't get answered. Okay. Well, You can do something different, or you can keep doing that and not get it answered. I'm just giving possibilities on ways to get the question answered.
Exactly.
Don't have
what
to listen
you
to
do
me.
If you got up there and asked a question, and they just looked at you with the, what would you do?
Well, I think
would
I've said it. I think I've said it. If I ask somebody a direct question, and they don't answer within 5 seconds and are staring at me, I'm going to say, Mayor, do you have an answer for this? Chief?
And if they don't,
then they're at that point, they're going to have to say something. They're going to have to say yes or no. And that, to
really?
Me, is an answer.
You think?
Well,
okay, and if they say no, so that's just all of that to get a no?
Well, sometimes
that's... When they don't answer, that's a no. I mean, to you and I got to the same point. You stood up there and said, okay, I'd really like an answer. Okay, no, Scott, we're not going to answer. I asked the question, turned and walked away. I'm expecting the answer, but they don't. We both ended up in the same spot, didn't we?
Well, yeah, but then the answer is no. And so you know that they don't want to answer it.
Right, so then you got them on the record for the no. I see your point.
Right, that's it.
To me, some people only call lies if they actually come out of somebody's mouth. I think people can lie by omission. I think people can do things wrong by not speaking. I think, you know, when people just flat out, so, again, as you keep saying, we're beating the same horse here.
Yeah, and like I said, if it keeps going the way it goes, that's okay, too. I mean, I that's fine. I understand people are anxious. All I'm saying is the reason this whole conversation started is all I hear is people complaining that the questions aren't being answered. So I'm just saying, okay, if you feel that way, then maybe this would be another tech. But if that tack doesn't work for you, that's okay. We can keep
right.
doing what we're doing.
Right. Yeah, it's strategy. It's just different strategy. Let's see what works. Let's see what doesn't work, you know?
Yep, and we'll go down the road. Thank you.
I agree. Thanks.
All right, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. What is it? It's the number one fear. I think the number one fear in America is still public speaking. But I think number two is death. So there used to be a joke about that. You're better off to be dead than be speaking at a funeral. Something like that. There used to be some kind of little joke around that. But it's interesting. It's interesting. And, you know, maybe sometimes a lot of these questions are not meant to be answered. Maybe they're just meant to be thrown out there as something people want to think about. Could be. I don't know. But you know what? We'll go on down the road and things will continue on happily. 59 minutes past the hour here. We've got a break coming up and we've got a whole nother hour. Do want to mention again, the SOS Band and the Daz Band are at the Ohio State Fair tomorrow night, July the 31st. So that should be a great concert. I think we've got a call coming in here. Okay, we've got 20 seconds.
Oh, Scott, this is your friendly little lady.
Yes.
I don't know if I can get it in that long. I'll call you back.
Yeah, call next hour. Call next hour.
Okay.
All right. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back with a phone call right after this.
To the Talking Place from Charlie Evers.
You know, you could come in handy, too, with that electricity. If we have problems with our transmitter,